Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor, Katie Atkinson.
What up, Keith?
How are you?
Doing great. And you?
I am super awesome. I'm ready to bust out some choreography.
Oh, man.
Do some dance moves.
Oh, if only the people could see it.
If they could see me now, I'm kind of doing jazz hands. The Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion and jazz hands about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. On this week's show, in addition to our regular chart chat, we have two very special guests, the fabulous Kristen Chenoweth and Bright Light, Bright Light. Chenoweth, you know, of course, from Wicked on Broadway and TV's Pushing Daisies and Glee. And, you know, she's just an all-around razzle-dazzle kind of gal.
She loves jazz hands.
She loves jazz. She's like, jazz hands. Oh, yeah.
She's jazz hands personified.
We spoke to her about her brand new jazzy pop standards album called The Art of Elegance, her return to Broadway and her upcoming one-woman show and lots more. Plus, Bright Light, Bright Light, a.k.a. singer-songwriter Rod Thomas, came by and visited us in our Los Angeles office a little while back. His new album, Choreography, became his first charting album on the Billboard charts, and it features a bevy of special guests like Elton John and the Scissor Sisters. So stick around for our chat with both Kristen and Bright Light, Bright Light a little bit later. But first, I forget who the name of that person was.
Is that the Simpsons character that you're doing?
I think it's a Simpsons character that actually is like referring to like a 60s or 70s game show host. Or actually it's like a Johnny Carson knockoff. It's like, but first, before he gets started.
So my reference is Simpsons when it actually comes from something else. Yes.
Well, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And heck, give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcast. So let's talk about the charts. At the top of the Billboard 200 chart this week, we've got a brand new number one from Solange. Her new A Seat at the Table arrives in the penthouse, marking her first number one album. It easily surpasses her previous peak on the chart, earned back in 2008. Man, that was so long ago. When Soul Angel and the Hadley Street Dreams debuted and peaked at number nine. It is such a lifetime away, I'm sure, for her between that album and this album.
And she actually had another album 4 years ago called True.
True, and True did chart, by the way.
Yes, it was just, this is her peak, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway.
True's less of a mouthful, too.
Her new album was released with little warning on September 30th. It was announced only 3 days earlier, and it came out as a digital album and as a stream. It wasn't released on any physical formats yet because, you know, it's such a quick turnaround. We'll get to more about Solange in just a second. But first, we have to talk about the number two album, Bon Iver's 22 A Million. It's the act's first album since its 2011 self-titled set, which also debuted and peaked at number two. And that album won the 2011 Grammy Award for Best Alternative Album. The same year, the band took home the Best New Artist trophy.
Much to the chagrin of Nicki Minaj fans.
Who was nominated that year.
Yes, she was.
And she did not win. Well, you know.
An indie top two.
Yeah. Indie.
Solange
is on Columbia Records.
Conceptual sense.
Yes, it is a very.
Alternative top two, perhaps, is better.
Yeah, I think you can. It is sort of an alternative R&B, alternative rock. It's a very cool looking top two this
Definitely.
Week.
Nice work, America.
Katie, everyone's been talking about the Solange album, and it just came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Give us news from the news desk of Katie Atkinson. Give us the update on this Solange album, because I didn't know that she was actually working on an album. I guess I should have known that.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was a surprise, and it was the first album in, like, for 4 years. And she actually said she was working on it for 4 years, like, the whole time. And so it was, like, a long work in progress. This is an album that, while it kind of came out of the blue, connected with people really quickly. Like, I was telling you earlier that my friends have been tweeting about it, like, Instagramming about it, It's like really had an impact in a very quick way.
And it's like a concept album, right?
Yeah. So a lot of people actually, I'm going to quote Pitchfork because they had, they gave it a really great 8.7 review and they referred to it as a stunning, thematically unified and musically adventurous statement on the pain and joy of Black womanhood.
Wow.
So it's deep and, people have really been talking about how she's kind of come into her own. She's not Beyonce's kid sister anymore. She's this unique, you know, she's her own artist and woman now, basically. Right. And this is her statement.
Wow.
And, so I think that the reason it's performed so well is because people are super connecting with it.
Yeah. Now it's time for our chart stat of the week.
Keith just throws this in wherever he feels like it now.
Well, it makes sense. So with Solange in the top 10 this week, we are reminded that there have been at least a couple famous siblings that have notched their own top 10s. You know, Solange is, of course, Beyonce's sister, and Beyonce herself has clocked 6 number ones of her own. Katie, can you name some other sibling pairs that have claimed their own top 10s?
This quiz, Katie, really popped up out of nowhere. Okay. I mean, I'm going to go.
This is not an authoritative list. It's just, I've thought of two other examples.
Oh, there's two. Okay.
Well, there could be more.
Right. But two big ones.
There are two that I immediately thought of.
Okay.
This is not incredibly well
researched. The obvious one that comes to me as a, you know, a child of the 90s, I was going to say Aaron Carter. Is he at a top 10?
I believe Aaron's Party Come Get It did, but I don't think Nick Carter ever went to the top
10. Oh, interesting. I was thinking Backstreet Boys. So we're talking as solo artists.
Solo artists, yes.
Okay, so, are we counting the Jonases?
No, because...
Once again, solo?
Uh-huh, solo. I could just tell you.
Ashley Simpson.
Ashley Simpson and Jessica Simpson. Okay. Ashley Simpson's actually had 2 number one albums of her own. Jessica's never been to number one, though.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'll just give you the other one.
Yeah, what's the other one?
So Michael Jackson.
Ah.
And Janet Jackson.
Oh, those people.
Oh, those people.
I went to Ashley and Jessica Simpson first.
As you would.
Don't judge me.
And what's also cool is that it was not only Michael and Janet, but also Jermaine.
Oh, look at that.
Jermaine had his own top 10 album as well.
Don't forget about Jermaine.
Never forget about Jermaine.
Never
forget. Let's get serious. Anyway, there's Chart Stat of the Week. Just a brief glimpse at some famous pairs of siblings that have had their own top 10 albums on the Billboard 200 albums chart. Woohoo! Okay, it is time for our first guest interview with the amazing and fabulous Kristen Chenoweth. Yeah! The Tony and Emmy award-winning singer-actress stopped by the podcast to talk about her new album, The Art of Elegance, which debuted at number one on our jazz albums chart, in fact. She also discusses her new one-woman show on Broadway in November. It's called My Love Letter to Broadway.
Oh, man, I would love to see that.
Yeah, I think it's like, I want to say it's like 13 shows, maybe 14 shows.
Please film that, Kristen.
Oh, you know that that's got to be a PBS special.
Please do that.
Yeah. How she'll be co-starring in NBC's live production of Hairspray this December, and how we might see her in a Broadway revival of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. We find out that she's a fan of Drake. Who knew?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, here's our interview with the wonderful Kristen Chenoweth.
Even though it's breaking when there are clouds in the sky.
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. Kristen Chenoweth, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in to our office because... You know what? Your brand new album, The Art of Elegance, has just been released, and it's just a wonderful collection of, you know, American standards and, you know, everything from Someone to Watch Over Me and Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered to They Can't Take That Away from Me. What was, you know, the genesis of this album? What made you want to do an album of this nature?
I guess I've always felt like I've just wanted to do it for so many years. And I've gotten to do a lot of albums of different genres. You know, I did the first album, which was, Broadway, big standards that people wanted from me. But this one, I wanted some of the music that I've been hearing my whole life, actually, and cut my teeth on back in school. Now, some of these songs are obviously not new, but new to me. And like, I'm a Fool to Want You. I found that once I thought the album was done. And I was like, no, 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 we're doing it. One of the songs I've done two other times, actually, but just didn't feel like I was done with it yet. And it's House Is Not a Home, Burt Bacharach, Hal David. I just didn't feel I was done with it. I don't know. I think there's always going to be that story or that song or that you know, play that we're never really finished with. And that's the song for me. And I wanted to make sure that was on there. And, you know, it's just been, it's everything I love. It's the beautiful melody and a good, fantastic, deep lyric. And I tried to pick some songs obviously I want to pick some songs we know, but some that aren't overdone. You know, I think I Get Along Without You Very Well and Skylark are two examples of that. You know, Hoagy Carmichael, Johnny Mercer, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
Right.
How do you approach, you know, the recording of a song that's so familiar to people? You know, how do you find a way to make these songs your own?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of artists I know, we all listen to each other, right? And I've been listening to these songs, a lot of them for a while. But eventually what I had to do was stop that. I needed to make them mine. And I was afraid that I would imitate and it would be so, somebody else's instead of mine. So what I just dug into the song and the lyric and what it means to sing, why I'm singing it, and tried to put my own stamp on these songs. For example, we have The Very Thought of You, who I've heard my whole life. My mom loved Nat King Cole, loved his voice. I did too. I mean, there's not a more beautiful, that voice is butter, right? But I kept listening to him and hearing him sing it. So I just like, I don't want to hear any of these anymore. I just need to make it mine. And I think with the help with my music producer, Steve Tyrell, and the orchestrator and arranger, Alan Broadbent, I was able to do that for myself.
You know, you've recorded, you know, quite a few genres of music, you know, pop, inspirational, country, you know, holiday music. Mm-hmm. Are you, like, a voracious fan of all types of music, you know, personally, like in your own, like, personal collection of music?
Yeah, I am. I really do love all kinds of artists and music. And I think it goes back to how I grew up. You know, obviously country music was a big influence in Oklahoma and who I loved, but so was gospel music and Madonna, you know, the Go-Go's. Those were the bands I was listening to as well. Journey, like I had my first dance to that song, to one of their songs, and I just feel like it says a lot about me. I love Eminem. I love Drake. I love Adele, obviously, who doesn't? But my tastes are very eclectic, and I think it's good to be that way. I like to be an artist that enjoys a lot of different kinds of music.
So what you're saying is there's going to be a deluxe edition of this album with a cover of Hotline Bling on it? Is that what you're saying?
You know it, baby. As long as there's bling, I'm good.
Right. When I was reading the liner notes for the album, I was kind of floored by all the kind of like the divas that you name checked, you know, Julie and Carol and Dolly and Bernadette, and then, you know, Madonna and Trisha, and mm-hmm. and it's just you have such an interesting wide taste in music, and that just, you know, I think actually that's reflective of, you know, a lot of people, because a lot of people just love all sorts of music, and sometimes people are too kind of boxed in to certain genres, and I think, you know, it's really great what you've been able to do with your career, I think.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's really the truth. I mean, I just like we like different kinds of movies, you know, and we like different actors. It's the same with music. And I like to see what people are doing. I like to hear what they have to say. That's how you really get to know an artist, is by what they say.
Yeah. Well, you're headed back to Broadway. I think people are going to be very excited about this because you have a little sort of mini residency, I suppose we can call it, November 2nd through 13th. And you must be thrilled about these shows because it's, you know, it's like it's a love letter to Broadway, effectively, right?
Yeah, I'm beside myself. I'm nervous. I think nervous in a good way, though. I want to, you know, I always want to do good and make myself better and be great and all that. But I also know who's come before me. There's a list of women who've done it. And I'm now going to be on that list. And I take it very seriously. I want people to have fun. And I'm doing a couple of things I don't think have really ever been done before on Broadway, which obviously I can't say, but I'm excited by that. I will tell you that the show every night, it's going to be different every night. The fun thing about being an artist is getting to bring new songs in or bring in really old songs to you and switch them out. And that's what I'm going to do. I mean, how many opportunities do you have as an artist to get to headline your own concert? And I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna do the best I can.
You absolutely should. And you know, we are in such a renaissance right now, I think, you know, in the world of Broadway and theater, you know, not just because of the wonderful things that you've done, but also because of, you know, certainly the phenomenon of Hamilton and so mm-hmm. forth. Do you think that, you know, musical theater and Broadway is in a really good place right now?
I actually think it's in a great place. I know that the last couple years we've been at the top on Broadway with the most sales we've ever had. And that tells me something. That tells me that as hard as our current times are and have been, and people feel a little bit in despair, people still want to go to the theater and forget. They still want to pay money and go see the new play, the new musical, an act of something. And it makes me happy that people are still doing that and that we're at the top. We're at the top of our game, actually. And that just means that we are hearkening back to a time when we can forget and walk into a theater and be transported. And, you know, this is an interesting time to be alive, but we still have so much to be grateful for. And I think Broadway's one of them. Music, in fact.
Yeah. Last question. You know, you're going to be co-starring in December on NBC's live production of Hairspray, which, mm-hmm. of course, should be amazing. And I actually have a related question to that, because I know that you were in a reading of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas a few months ago.
Yes.
And I think people are rumbling and talking about how maybe it's coming back to Broadway in some capacity. Is there anything you're allowed to say or that we can say about this possibility of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas coming back to Broadway with you in it?
Sure. I'm definitely, I'm very interested in, you know, delving in deeper into the book and seeing how we can make it a little bit more current, because it is a little bit of a... It's a different time, right?
Yeah.
But yet, I still want to be truth to the music and to the overall story. It is, I think, just a fun show, and people again want to just go forget. And I remember that. Like, I remember watching the movie and seeing Dolly do it, and of course, everyone knows me and knows I love her and that I worship at her altar. So it would be fun for me to try to attempt to get in her shoes, like just attempt. And I think same goes with Hairspray. It's a time when we need to see it. People want to laugh and clap and be able to hum the tunes when they leave. And with both those shows, you can.
Well, you can see Kristen on Broadway coming up here November 2nd through 13th. And of course, you can hear her on record on The Art of Elegance, which is out now. Thank you so much, Kristen, for taking the time to do the Billboard Pop Shop podcast. You are such a delight, and I'm such a fan, so thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
There's a saying old, says that love is blind. Still, we're often told.
Thank you again, Kristen. That was so wonderful. We've been trying to get her on the show for a while, and we could finally make it happen, so
woohoo! We're both doing jazz hands
jazz
right
hands.
Now. You can't see it.
We're doing jazz hands all for you in the Art of Elegance. And now it's time for our second guest interview. We're just rolling right
More
along.
More jazz hands.
More jazz hands. more jazz hands. And effectively, this makes sense because this next guest, his new album is based all around famous dance sequences from films.
Perfect.
So Bright Light, Bright Light, a.k.a. the singer-songwriter Rod Thomas, came by the LA office a few weeks ago in the midst of his U.S. tour. I basically pinged him on Facebook when he was in town and was like, yo, can you come by the office? And he Ubered on over.
And it actually happened. Maybe we should try Drake.
Yeah, sure. Yo, Drake. Can you get him on
Slip
Facebook?
Slip into his DMs.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you? He doesn't follow me, so I don't think I can make that happen.
He does not follow me either.
Well, anyway, Bright Light, Bright Light recently released his album Choreography, which was inspired by dance sequences in films that he really loved, and the set debuted at number 12 on our top dance electronic albums chart, which is all the more impressive because he's a super indie artist. Like, yeah. Everything is just done effectively on his own. So it's a true triumph for him. And the album also features guests like Elton John and all the members of Scissor Sisters, just not all together at the same time. So anyway, here's our chat with Bright Light, Bright Light. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Rod Thomas, a.k.a. Bright Light, Bright Light.
Hello, thank you for having me.
This is the second time we're recording this. I'm going to be perfectly honest, say the first time we did it, we had a lovely conversation for about a minute, and then it went kaput. So we're starting over.
Technology is nobody's friend, is it?
Shockingly, it should be, but it's not sometimes. But now we're here together, finally. And I'm going to congratulate you again on the new album, Choreography, which hit number 12 on Billboard's Top Dance Electronic Albums chart. And I know you already said that you were delighted about it, but you have to tell me again how exciting it is to finally, you know, have an album on the Billboard charts.
It's crazy. I mean, when you're an artist from the UK, let alone like an independent artist, you never think that your album will do anything abroad, you know, even in your home country, really. So seeing that was like the most amazing thing for me. It was awesome.
And you are super indie. Like, you do everything on your own.
Yes.
Like, is the album even distributed by...
Yeah, it's distributed by Red in the States.
Okay. So at least you have that helping you. But still, it's like, this is like fully a self-contained unit. You have some help, obviously, in your organization, but you don't have, like, a label kind of pimping you out to radio and trying to, you know, market you in crazy ways. It's really a very homegrown operation, which makes it probably all the more fulfilling for you, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really cool. I've got to work with a lot of really great people, and all the relationships on the record and around the record have been very organic, which is a much more rewarding way to make music, I think, because music is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be made to sort of create these, like, good relationships between people. You know, you work with people that inspire you, and I've been able to. It's been really cool. So I obviously have like my press team and my radio team in different territories, but they're people that I've chosen, not people that were like assigned to it.
Right.
And they're all just brilliant.
And, you know, speaking of your team, there's a lot of people on the album that are clearly people that are your friends, that are organic relationships. Well, I mean, they're not plants, but I mean... The relationships that you've cultivated over years that you weren't just like sort of like shoved together in a studio, like make magic, make a song. I mean, the first single from the album, All in the Name, which happens to feature Elton John, recently hit the top 25 of Billboard's Dance Club Songs chart.
Yes.
So more charting action for you.
I know, how crazy.
It's funny how these things work. And on that track, it's not only Elton, but Alan Cummings on it, Jake Shears, Animatronic, both of the Scissor Sisters, Del Marquis of the Scissor Sisters plays guitar on it. I mean, there's this like kind of like big choir of voices that sing the chorus. Was it easy to get all these friends of yours on the album?
It took a little bit of...
cajoling?
Yeah, it was a bit like Jenga, you know, like making everyone sort of available at different times.
You somehow succeeded in getting all four members of the Scissor Sisters onto the album just on different tracks.
Yes. that was kind of a personal goal of mine. Like, Scissor Sisters are one of the bands that really inspired me to keep doing what I do. They're one of my favorite bands ever. And because they have had such a hiatus, you know, people kept asking me, like, when are they coming back? What's happening? As if, like, I can speak for them.
Right.
I clearly can't. So I just thought, you know, well, I'll just put them all on my album. And that's, like, virtually a reunion.
Yeah.
So, like, Baby Daddy wrote one of the songs with me as well. So they're literally all on my album, and it felt super cool.
He plays like keyboards or guitar.
He co-wrote "Home" with me, the one that Alan Cumming sings on.
So it's you know, if you need your Scissor Sisters fix,
yep,
and you enjoy Bright Light, Bright Light, you're going to get the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Jake has been on the show before previously, so you're in good company. Mm-hmm. And you know, I really like, well, the whole album. There's a particular track on it that kind of, I'm assuming you were kind of going for like a housey vibe. I Only Want to Please You.
Yes.
Which has like this wailing diva vocal in there, mm-hmm. which I don't think is animatronic. I think that must be Bridget Barkley.
It's actually both of them.
Oh, it's both of them.
Yeah, so they doubled each other on it, yeah.
Was that the intention to kind of go for kind of like a throwback?
Yeah, very much. So like the whole album is inspired by dance sequences in movies that I really loved. This song in particular isn't really about any particular movie, but like the vibe and the energy of some of those films in the 80s where there were like huge dance sequences and like full choreography with like 20 or 30 women doing like super fierce things. So it's like tapping into that visually, and then sonically it's into the like Stock Aitken Waterman world of like synth magic.
Well, there's like a lot of programmed beats. There's like some sort of like cowbell action. I mean, there's probably no sounds.
Sadly not, actually.
There are some kind mm-hmm. of percussion-y bell-like sounds. But it has that, and I love it, it has that, you can hear kind of the moments of, is this sort of Erasure-y, or is this sort of Pet Shop Boys-y? But at the same time, it's still very of the now. Like, you don't feel like it's like a complete, like, let's go back to 87.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the idea is I never wanted to replicate, but I wanted to reference.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, all of the eras that I do love, I'm pretty sure that no one could do them better than they did them at the time.
Right.
So, like, using the odd, like, sound or, like, rhythm, beat, kind of, like, texture ideas is something that I'm interested in, but I don't want to try and, like, make an 80s record.
Well, you're on tour right now, and obviously you're playing a show tonight in Los Angeles. How is the tour going so far? I know it's kind of a cliche question to ask, but how is the tour going so far?
Brilliant. It's been so much fun. Like, the shows are great.
You're like, no, it's terrible. Everything's going to pot.
Terrible. No, it's been really good. It's really cool to get to play the new songs rather than when you're sort of like at the end of a previous album campaign. You've played the songs mostly, and, you know, it's just nice to get to be able to play new material and see how people respond to that. And it's been so cool. Like, the album's been out for, I suppose, a month now, and people know all the words, and it feels really, really good.
Yeah.
So, like, the New York show was off the hook. It was crazy busy, and people lost their tiny minds and lived their best lives, and I had such a blast. It's been really cool.
Have you said that phrase before, lost their tiny minds and lived their best lives?
No, but it sounds quite good, doesn't it?
It sounds good. I'm like, why do they have tiny minds?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Don't take it too literally.
Okay. It sounds like a lyric. It sounds like it could be a lyric.
I mean, I have been known to write one or two, so we'll see.
And then after the tour, because the tour then I think goes back to Europe, right? Or mm-hmm. it goes to the UK?
Yeah, it's the UK and Europe in October, November.
Is there plans for like future music videos and, and that sort of thing? And anything we can say yet? Or is it all sort of in the ether still?
Well, let's just say I made like a triptych of videos before the album came out. So two have been released and one is coming. And my idea is to work with lots of different choreographers over the course of the next year or two to work on material for the other songs on the album to bring them to life.
It's such a great concept, you know, with choreography being an album where, you know, all the songs were inspired by, you know, choreographed dance sequences. And then now you're able to kind of, you know, parlay that into kind of a larger multimedia experience. Mm-hmm. Did you consciously think of that beforehand?
Yes.
You're like, all right, oh, well, of course. You're like, yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
It wasn't just a concept for an album. It was also a concept for, you know, the tour and the visuals.
Yeah, I sort of planned it all out, like, way, way in advance. So when I first thought about what I was going to do for a third album, I thought about, like, the inspiration of the album, the concept, the color scheme, the videos, the look, the feel, the songs, the sounds, everything. I wanted it all to be very coherent mm-hmm. and fun, and the dance sequences in films are like the most fun things to me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do something in that vein. So it's going to be like a really cool year of being able to tour in that way, I think.
And you know, we've talked about your sort of famous collaborators before, and everyone talks about Elton John a lot, mm-hmm. Because you were sort of briefly signed to his management company mm-hmm. a long while back,
yeah.
And then you just became friends after that. You're no longer with his management, but you yeah. stayed great friends, and you know, you collaborate with him, and he's on a number of the tracks on the album. Yep. Is there someone on your dream list of collaborators in the future that you haven't yet got to work with that you'd like to work with? Or is that kind of a silly question to ask? You're like, well, maybe if it happens, it happens.
There's plenty of people. In a dream world, it would be Kate Bush. But ooh. I'm very aware that she's, you know, she's not really creating much new music in terms of working with new people or right. other people. So I don't think that's going to be very likely. But there's a ton of people around, you know. I think St. Lucia are one of the best bands in the modern world, so I'd love to do something with them, whether it's like a remix swap or a co-write or something. I think they're awesome. There's loads of people like Royksopp I would love to do something with. I think their production is incredible. There's just like a million people. It's hard though. It's one of those things when somebody goes like, what's your favorite movie? Yeah. You can't think of a single movie.
Right.
But like those two, I think, are like super talented people, and they have really interesting sonic palettes and ways with melody. I think they're brilliant.
Well, I know you have to go to a show tonight. In fact, I dragged you over here against your will.
Ah, not at all.
And I know you have to do like sound check and stuff, probably like in a couple hours. So yeah. I appreciate you coming by.
Thanks
and
for
thank
having
you
me.
So much for doing this. And good luck on the rest of your shows.
Thanks.
And hope to speak to you again soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. It's never easy. I never
know when to stop. But I really try. Thanks again to Rod, a.k.a. Bright Light. If you happen to be in Europe, if you happen to be one of our European listeners, mm-hmm. Make sure to catch him on tour starting on October 30th in Leeds in England. I wonder if that's Leeds, England. Is that what you say? Or is it Leeds in...
Both. I think both are right.
Leeds.
The comma is implied when yeah. you say it.
So anyway, check him out on tour. You'll have a great time and you'll probably dance your face off. Okay. Shockingly, we have come to the end of this week's show.
Well, yeah. Two interviews. What do you... Yeah.
Chart chat.
Full show.
Bon Iver and Solange. Got a lot to talk about.
So much.
Well, what song should we go out on here?
Ooh, can we go out on a Kristen, like, popular, maybe? Like a Wicked song?
Popular,
yeah,
sure.
Let's do that.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Popular. You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper poise when you talk to boys. Little ways to flirt and glance. Ooh, I'll show you what shoes to wear.